Morning, everyone. So we're back in the comfort of Stuart's dining room after a couple of sessions where we did it on Zoom. And so welcome to this particular episode of Homer Potts Happy Hour. How are you, Stuart? You're back from South Africa.
I am back to sunny England. Thrilled to be home. It's just beautifully sunny and warm. And no, it's not.
No.
It's grey and shit and miserable. But it's nice to be home. It's nice to be back with the gang.
Yeah.
So how have we all been?
Yeah, good. I've been good. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, I've actually been a bit grumpy since I've been here, but
grumpy
no, I've been
as.
Good. But well, I've been helping my friend who's been in hospital for the last couple of nights, so I've lost a lot of sleep. But
oh dear, don't name
I
her.
I did go and see Wicked, the film, and I really, really liked it. Loved it, thoroughly enjoyed
my
it.
My kids have liked it. Yeah. Both my kids have seen it separately and they thought it was great.
I thought it was That's brilliant. Nice. Yeah, really
it's
good.
It's not had great reviews, is it? It's got a slightly mixed review, so it's good that it's...
I've only heard good reviews.
Yeah.
Have you?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
What did you like particularly?
I thought... I loved the music. I thought all the costumes. Yeah, the whole kick.
The whole shebangle.
Have you seen the stage show?
Yes.
Is it based... Is it exactly the same? Has it got...
Pretty much.
So
yeah,
the songs
much.
Are from the stage
yeah.
show and all that sort of
what
thing.
What I didn't realise was it's in two parts. I thought it was just going to be the whole thing... But it's to be continued. In a year's time, they're going to be doing the second part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like the second half of the show.
But isn't it a prequel? Is the
prequel
film a prequel
to The Wizard of Oz,
to how
isn't
the...
It?
Dorothy.
How it all started.
Well, that is...
That is
yeah,
Wicked,
that's
isn't
what
it? That's
Wicked,
Wicked, I guess,
is,
isn't
yes.
it? Yeah.
But, no, it's very good. But I must say the cinema etiquette was really quite annoying. The person sitting next to me...
It drives you nuts,
because
doesn't it? They look at their phone...
No, it was the popcorn. It was the rolling up and down the bag of popcorn and in between breaks. And then when I lived in America, one thing I found quite annoying was people
Americans?
At the cinema would talk to the screen. They would sort of comment on what's happening in the film.
Very annoying.
You sure this wasn't your husband?
No.
Who has the ability to do that?
Has been known. But... No, they would talk at the screen like, no way, say no, or things like that, which was really, I found really infuriating.
I did that, didn't I?
Hang on, that's coming out in a minute. You.
But I sat there.
I've never done it.
And I thought, this it won't happen here. And I said to my friend, I really hope so. And she said, no, because I was a bit worried about people starting to sing and stuff like that. But she said, no, we're in Lewis.
Oh,
people
okay,
won't do
yeah.
that. We don't do that in England. Who comes and sits next to me? An American girl with the popcorn, with the comments. To the screen, speaking out. And so
how
I
annoying.
Found... But even that, normally that would have ruined the whole thing, but the film was that good, I could let it
go. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. Yes,
yeah.
I loved it.
I'm quite happy to go and see it. I love the stage show. I think it's fantastic.
I saw a clip
You'll love
of it.
It.
And, I mean, I don't know anything about it at all other than the fact that it's all set in Oz.
Mm.
But is the Wicked Witch of the West not as wicked at that point? Because the one in The Wizard of Oz is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And this girl looked like, quite apart from the fact that she was green, she looked quite pleasant, really.
She is pleasant. It's the whole story of
yes,
how she became known as the Wicked Witch.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was wronged.
So it's trying to understand why that happened.
Right.
It'll be a man's fault.
It'll be a man's fault.
Always a man's fault.
So that
fault.
Was very good.
Okay.
So that's what I've been
cool.
doing.
We are actually going to quickly skip back onto that because we're travelling in America in the early 1990s and we go and see Ghost.
Oh, yes.
Great
We
film.
Go and see Ghost.
The good thing about it was funny because we'd never heard of Ghost, had we? Because we were just travelling through America. There was no internet.
We used to go to cinema a lot
and
in
we
those
went
days.
To a cinema and we thought, we'll see this. And the girl in the counter said, go and see Ghost. You'll love it. And we thought, oh, all right then.
So we pop off to see Ghost. And obviously, it's not a spoiler because people the bit obviously where he's trying on with Demi Moore after he's killed him and he pulls the coffee over his shirt so he takes his shirt off and
right.
he's got the rippling body and this sort of stuff and then out of
he's
nowhere
he's moving in for a kiss isn't he
he's moving in and out of nowhere someone in the cinema suddenly screams and shouts. Now who could that have been?
You didn't.
I couldn't help myself. I went no. I've never ever done it before and since.
And we're turning around to him like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, no.
He was
I was so swept up in the moment.
I
was very invested.
You were very invested, but it wasn't the fact that you were so invested. You were so loud. She said, as she screamed in the cinema, it wasn't like a no. It was like a no! No! Don't do it!
Yeah, great, I've never film. Done that since.
Prime to me.
Oh, gosh.
Prime to me.
And Stuart was in love with Demi Moore. I was thinking of you, really.
Yeah, what, I'd get upset.
Yeah.
I probably kind of got over the fact that I probably was, at that stage, pre-Mrs. Simmons, I was never going to end up with Demi. I thought my chances were remote.
Quite slim.
Quite slim, verging on nil.
Especially as Dick Simard had just given you that haircut
as
well.
The worst haircut in haircut history.
Who's Dick Simard?
Dick's not Semihard, Simard.
Who's he? That's not a real name.
I wasn't Dick Semihard after that, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But I tried to grow. It was the time where, obviously, you know, the longer hair is a bit of a mullet, and, you know, footballer's haircut, which I did have at the time as
good
a footballer.
Man. Good man.
And I tried to grow it, and I tried to do this, and then I was travelling, and it was becoming a bit of a hassle. So we went to this barber's in Boston.
Salem,
just outside Boston. And this bloke, his hairdresser, called Dick Simard.
I should have known
better, because he was as bald as you like.
You met him in a pub.
Yeah, we did meet him in a pub. So anyway, he starts cutting my hair. And so I sort of explain what I want. I just like a little bit of top, take a bit of the weight off. And obviously I want to leave it long at the back, because I'm trying to grow it, you know, so I can look a bit like a Ian Bishop or whatever.
You were looking for a Patrick Swayze, weren't you?
Well, so it was probably fashionable at the time. They're quite fashionable at the moment anyway. So I did this, and bit by bit, he just kept getting it wrong. He just, every bit went wrong, until I had no choice to say, you might as well cut the whole fucking lot off at the back, because you fucked it so badly. And he was trying to help, and he was this bloke trying to be like a comedian, didn't he?
Yeah.
He thought he was like really, he's really into like sort of like the Goons, and he's really into like the Three Stooges, and he kept trying to be this comedian as my hair is getting worse and worse. So I like the soul is being ripped out of me at the time, thinking my chance of actually getting the action is just going even lower than they would have been normally. And by the end of it, I just had no hair. He gave me the worst haircut.
This was the sort of barber that you didn't want to say anything other than, short back and sides, please. And that was it. It was like he'd learnt how to cut hair in 1961, and that was what you
That was
getting.
It. Yeah. And that was what I got. And I've never,
ever...
It was
atrocious, wasn't it?
And a haircut has never made me want to cry.
Like that.
Before. That's the only time.
I've had one of those. I had a shocker in America with this hairdresser, and it was a day after Trump, the first time, had come in, and he was thrilled. He was so excited, and he was like being very dramatic and everything. And I could just see how he was. I was trying to work out if I was going to have layers or not, or what I was going to do. And he was getting frustrated with me because I couldn't make a decision, which I know is a shocker. And this girl walked through the salon, and I said, oh, I like how she's got her hair. I like her layers. And he said, well, that's like comparing a Chevy truck to a BMW. And I was like...
Which one were you?
What am I then?
You're the Chevy truck.
So offended. And he's like, well, is it obvious, isn't it? I said, well, no, it shouldn't be obvious. And I let him carry on. I was just wanting to cry. I felt so awful because he was so... Then he was rude to me. And then I left him a tip still,
Oh, you still
gave
him a tip, I know.
Yeah, and left in
tears.
And
you know the time where they obviously get the mirror and they stick it at the back of your head? And do you like it? And only one time in my life I went... No, I don't like it at all. You've absolutely butchered my hair, and I'm absolutely fuming. And it was at a time I was working at one of the schools near here, and there was a real strict rule if you couldn't have a hat inside, you had to take it out. So obviously I'll go outside, do games, have a hat on, they have like a beanie, and I had to take my hat off. My haircut was so bad, they gave me a 2-week grace where I was allowed to wear my hat in the hat, because my hair was that bad.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know. It's the only time I've actually had a go at the hairdresser back and said, no, you haven't listened to a single word I've asked you, and you've just done what you consider is your basic haircut, and you've butchered my hair. And she, poor girl was...
I know.
I thought, no,
you left the hairdresser crying.
Crying. I never went back to him. Yeah, no, I did.
But still gave him a tip.
You have to do that. I know.
Yeah. And he was getting more and more dramatic, and he was making a bit more of a scene.
I imagine I was just dying. Like Edward Scissorhands, you know, when he was cutting away, you just see bits of hair flying around.
Oh, it was awful. Ooh, yeah. So I didn't go back, though.
So we've transgressed again. How are you, Stoker?
Oh, I'm very well. I've had a beautiful holiday in Portugal. I'd never been before.
It's really nice, isn't it?
I loved it.
No,
definitely
it's great
go again.
Portugal, yeah.
November 22, 23 most days.
22, 23.
22, 22, which was marvellous. Yes. Beautiful. Food was stupendous. I put on so much weight.
Is that why you're wearing quite a comfy-looking cardi today? Or is it a jumper?
It is. Well, it's not a cardi. It's a Telemark jumper.
Oh, is it?
Which is a very famous Norwegian...
Ah, I recognised it.
The Heroes of Telemark is a war film, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. The Heroes of Telemark is a war film.
I have seen it, and I was thinking the detail, the buttons here, sort of gave it away as that Norwegian-y... Class. Scandinavia.
Yeah. I just think it's not class. I just think it's oozing class, Andrew.
Class. Yes.
Yeah, but I think your jumper oozes class.
It's oozing class, and it's quite roomy.
They're very, very warm. Mm. But there is a story around the commandos that were dropped at Telemark.
Oh, is this going to bore the listeners, or are you going to do it anyway?
I don't think it's going to bore the listeners. Oh, okay. The Churchill oversaw all the operations when we dropped... parachuted in people to blow up their heavy water experiments that the Nazis were doing.
And people compared Boris Johnson to Churchill or something, didn't they? Can you imagine? And Boris Johnson oversaw the whole campaign.
So it was a very important operation. And because they're being dropped in Norway, the Durex factory in Staines had 20-inch Durexes made to put over to a sheath over the gun of the barrel so it wouldn't freeze on parachuting. And he sent out commands that British standard issue was stamped on the box. And they said, Winston, why are you so insistent on just in case they fall into enemy hands?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Is that true or have you just that made it up?
That is a true story.
Well, there you go. Well,
there you go, see.
So, what are we going to
emails.
Talk about?
We've had a couple of emails.
Oh, yeah, they're emails, have we?
We've had a couple of emails.
Hang on a minute. Before you say the emails, info@homerpots@gmail.com.
Correct.
That's what you want to do.
That's what you
want
to do.
Get your emails in.
Especially before Christmas.
@gmail.com.
Pre-Christmas, before our pre-Christmas special, you can do that. So we did have one. We've had a couple. One was possibly slightly related to me. Over the Zoom ones we've done, there would appear to have been a slight sniffing noise.
I wonder who that was.
Well, I'm suggesting it was possibly you lot, but I mean, maybe it came just happened to come after me, and I don't know whether it was the Zoom exacerbated it. But quite a couple of people did wonder whether I had like a white powder problem. obviously, I live in this nice big house because obviously I'm a Coke fiend and basically a Coke seller. And all
I think he was for the listeners. He was wearing two pairs of glasses because he's as blind as a bat.
I am,
and I think the second pair was pinging your. Up there, and that wasn't helping. But
But obviously, I have a nervous tick because I'm so nervous about the three of them. I obviously sniff after. So if you were
Colombian
offended by
Martin
the sniffing,
powder.
Then basically I'm sorry, and well, that's tough luck. But the more important one is obviously now we've gone into early December.
Yeah,
Michael from Eastbourne would like to know when we consider. When is it too early to start thinking Christmas and celebrate Christmas, putting your stuff up? Because obviously, you know, I walked back, got in the car from the airport on Monday. It's the 1st or the 2nd of December and I'm inundated with Chris Rea and Slade and
It does
and
seem
Jonah
much
Lurie
earlier
and
now.
This. And it's just...
I don't know if it's any earlier this year.
I think it's the 1st of December and on.
Yeah.
It's since our whole economy changed to an economy based on retail. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Yes.
Everything is based on selling, because we haven't got any factories or anything anymore. It's all shops, basically. And it's their biggest time of the year, and I think they're just getting in earlier and earlier, the whole thing. I'm not particularly bothered about shops. I find it, and I'm not enormously bothered about what sort of date people put up their decorations inside their house, although I think if you actually do it before December, it's a bit nuts. But it's when you get to about the 24th of November and people have got them all over the outside of their house.
No.
I think it's bonkers.
December, you're allowed to start decorating the house.
I used to always wait till Sports Personality of the Year. When they had that weekend of that, that's when my tree used to go up.
My life. I would never have thought those two would have gone together.
Really?
No.
And then it was all up and you settle down and have a drink and watch Sports Personality.
Sports Personality was so good and now it's just so
now
shit.
It's
but that's
not.
Another subject for another day.
It's another subject,
but
isn't it?
When you were younger...
When do you think, Stuart, is acceptable to
decorate? Well, I have this conversation with the Mrs. Simmons and the two Simmons children a lot.
Right.
The fact that they think I'm a bit of a miserable old bastard. And
they've got a point.
They may well have a point. But I would say tree up 10 days before Christmas?
I'm aware of that.
I'm the same. Because I have a real tree. Yeah, because otherwise it drops.
Yeah, we have a real tree. So ours tends to go up second weekend around the 10th.
This is one of the things that I sort of won with my children. I bought a very nice fake one, but it's lasted. So I paid about £200 for it a few years ago, but it's lasted. So it's in the garage and it'll come out. But it's a really nice
one. It's only last about 5 years.
Yeah, and that's done really well. But, I mean, when you were kids, when did you put your tree up?
Similar to what we do. It was probably around the 10th or 12th.
Oh, I didn't. Ours went up Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, the day before, go out, get the tree, shove it in the car, you know, pine needles everywhere. Christmas Eve, everyone. And I think that was quite common. It was Christmas. It stayed up till, you know, after Twelfth Night and everything. Mm. So it came down in early January. So that didn't go. But it, you know, basically, Christmas Eve, that was when it went up.
Wow.
So I've obviously pushed it back a bit. And I 10 days before, something like that. Obviously, we can't put any presents underneath it. Yeah, because obviously, you know, girls don't live here anymore. But
and the dogs will have those.
And Arthur will have them.
Yeah.
Arthur will have everything.
Do you put some... Well, I suppose you don't because of the dogs, but do you still put chocolates on the tree?
Not anymore.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah.
Can you buy them on a...
Yeah, you can still get them. Yeah, you can still get them. The foil-coloured chocolates.
I remember those, like, the chocolate balls you used to get.
Yeah, we've got them still. They do them in Aldi. I've never seen them anywhere else, but Aldi still do them.
I might have to grab some of those, actually. Yeah.
And John eats them all.
Yeah, well, we had that thing.
And we always say, save some for Ben because he doesn't live at home anymore and he'll be coming for Christmas, probably around the 23rd. You don't want him turning up and finding they've all gone.
And they have.
Well, usually, yeah.
Yeah. We did this thing. Hannah, if she's listening, we used to get the old chocolate money and every year in the stockings, the chocolate money. Still do that. And that's just like a regular. And load of the chocolate money went missing. so we basically accused Hannah of nicking it and stealing it, which she was totally offended and this sort of stuff. But we didn't believe a word she said. And then about 6 months later, we found it down the corner behind a desk. Like, who's shit?
Oh, no.
I'm not sure if we were brave enough to tell her eventually. I think we might have wasted a couple of years before we told her. But, yeah, no, we did do that. So, yeah, no, that's, yeah, it's the Christmas songs. It's just... incessant,
because a lot of the radio stations now, if you listen to Magic, I'm not a Magic listener, but they only play Christmas songs throughout from probably the third week of November. That's all they play. They don't play anything else.
Yeah,
it is fairly incessant. You get the impression, I don't know if it's true, but you get the impression it's just following probably what started in America first, is it?
Probably. Yeah, I'm trying to think when they...
Mind you, they're a bit obsessed with Thanksgiving, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got Thanksgiving and then they put their trees up after that. But one thing I did find was they take their trees down really quickly, either Christmas Day night...
Nothing wrong with that.
Because then they don't have Boxing Day, so the trees... Well, you see all the green bins outside.
Paid holiday, do they? So they're probably all back at work.
Yeah, but all the green bins, the trees are all upside down in the bins to be collected. Yeah.
Do the Americans do all the Christmas songs like we do? The same standard 25 hugely famous Christmas songs?
I bet they don't
songs.
Have British ones. I bet they don't have Wizard and Slade and all that sort of thing, do they?
I can't remember.
I bet they have, what's her name? The one who sings
Mariah
Under
Carey.
The Tree. Mariah Carey.
Kelly Clarkson. John Bon Jovi.
Elvis doing Blue Christmas.
Yeah. I don't remember it as much. I think it's Christmas. The same. You can
No, that's Mud.
Without you. That's Mud. That's
Mud, you fraud.
But you can get the Christmas channels, the radio channels, where you could listen to it all, but... Yeah.
No, still adult-orientated rock, nothing else.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of country, actually. I do
a lot
love
of country.
A bit of country.
For goodness sake.
Oh, Christ on that.
Okay, which on that note.
Choirs and country.
Choirs.
Jesus Christ.
Choir concert
BBC
last night.
BBC Three, I recommend.
So you had your choir concert last night, didn't you?
Night.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, no, it was very good. Please. We put two choirs together. There was Lewis Choir and Bexhill.
Oh, because you showed me a film of it. I was thinking, oh, that's a big choir you've got there. So that was two choirs.
Yes, it was two choirs.
Was there any competition between the choirs? Who's the oldest by average, do you think?
Bexhill's was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like.
Our choir's incredibly old. I'm the youngest bloke in our choir.
If you and me want to go out and have a fag.
And I think I'm probably one of the oldest in ours.
I don't smoke. Oh, yeah. I don't smoke, but I feel like the need to start.
It was very good, though. And our choir leader is leaving because she's got a part in Wicked, actually, the musical. on the, in London. So and she sang a song, which was amazing, and the other choir leader did as well. So that was nice to hear them.
Did they have like a choir off? Properly.
No.
Between the two of them?
No. Secretly, maybe. Secretly. Yeah, no, there wasn't.
They did.
No.
Oh, okay, that's quite.
It was nice. It was lovely. It was a beautiful church, St. Saviour's Church in Eastbourne.
It would be lovely that it's full. Very nice. For once. Mm.
So I was reading the paper on the way down here on the train. I picked up this free metro and I'm flicking through it. And there's a thing in it and it's called Rush Hour Crush. And the idea of Rush Hour Crush is that if you've been on the tube, or I presume they're talking about a tube or a bus, and you see somebody you fancy but haven't had the bottle to actually go up and speak to them, which is probably the way of things these days.
Yeah, it's been going for years.
Has it?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And then the idea is you describe the person who you were talking to and yourself, and then and the situation you found yourself in, and then you hope that they get in touch. I don't know how they get in touch, actually. Oh, no, here we are. You have to go via the paper. So, and I was sort of reading them, and I was thinking, right, this girl isn't selling herself here. So she says, to the handsome man on the district, you weren't on the handsome, on the district.
I drive to football
now. Oh, no, with the naturally darker nose. To the handsome man on the district line between Parsons Green and Westminster, who let me sit down first, you were able to sit down a few stops later, and we sat in awkward silence until we both got out at Westminster and told each other to have a great day. I regret not asking you your number, but I hope this finds you anyway. Short American girl. That's it. That's how she describes herself. Short American. She's not selling herself there, is she, really? And then we've got to the ridiculously handsome and tattered... So this one's not you either. And tattooed Brandon, wearing a Fred Perry polo shirt and a long brown coat, and watching the Dance of the Phoenix after Friday's Idols gig at Alexandra Palace. I wish I'd braved giving you my number, girl in blue. I mean, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? How on earth are you supposed to find anyone? Oh, here, this bloke, here we are. This bloke obviously thinks he's in. I think he's probably... Anyway, I'll let you decide for yourselves. To the petite, elegant and stunning 43-year-old black woman with the big hoopy earrings.
How does he know how old she was?
Well, I don't know.
I thought you were going to say big hoopy.
With the big hoopy. With the big
hoopy. Hoopy earrings, not big hooters.
Hoopy earrings. In the O2 outside the pub, you were seeing Charlie XCX. Don't know who that is. Sounds like somebody who young people would like. Charlie XCX.
Some rapper.
I was seeing the Neil Innes tribute. Now, I reckon
that's...
you...
Fucking how old are you?
Really, yeah. I was seeing the Neil Innes tribute. I told you were beautiful as you left. I'd love to meet you and talk Prince and Stevie. Adam, 57 years young. I mean, he's really... Poor old Adam's chancing his arm there, isn't he?
Really
a little
is.
Bit. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to do any more of these. But
I wonder if they're successful. Do they find
well,
them?
Well, I don't know. I'd like... They never seem to have sort of... What have you got there, Andrew?
I'll Google, see if...
Oh, yeah, Google and see if anyone's successful. We'll bring that up a bit later. So what we're going to do now is, while Andrew's Googling, and Loni seems to have spent the whole time either on her phone or writing notes.
I'm doodling.
We're going to go for a quick break.
Cool.
And then we're going to come back with some even more exciting stuff. Oh, see you in a bit.
We're back for the second part of Home of Pots Happy Hour, and we're discussing who's it been a very, very bad week for. And the obvious answer...
Let me have a think. Let me have a think.
It's been a very bad week for...
Greg Wallace!
Correct!
Awful.
Yes. I've been keeping up with all the Greg Wallace-related smut talk from across the water, and he's...
You're very nearly sniffing there. Careful.
But I've just had my sort of half a pound of marching powder in the break. And, did it again. That's it. It's the winter.
That's how it works.
That's it's winter. But he he's in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, he is. Yep. And it's the way that every day something's coming
getting
out.
Worse.
And
it's starting just getting worse.
Has he got anybody advising him, do you think? He can't have. Some of the stuff he's come out with, like the middle...
A grave digger's advising him, I think.
Yeah.
Was it the middle-aged women
of
a certain...
Oh, yeah, that's like, do you want to dig yourself into an even bigger hole?
Awful.
Yeah,
awful.
I know.
Yeah, he's just... I mean, it's, you know, a couple of people you sort of see have come out and you think, oh, you've come out with this one as well. Basically, I'm going to name it because she probably won't be listening. Ulrika Johnson. You think, fucking doodles. Is there anyone you're not going to have a go at, Ulrika, when the time is right to lay into somebody? But he's obviously the thing is when they go on these sort of things, which aren't good, is the common denominator.
Yeah.
And if people can say certain things. But if all these stories keep coming out, and the common denominator is something, and these other people are totally unrelated, you're in all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
And he's in all sorts of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And you know, it starts out where you do think, and this is sort of what people of our age tend to think, you think, well, it just sounds a bit like banter. And then you think, actually, what's come out today isn't really banter.
No.
And then you think, oh, my God, what? did you see what his ghostwriter said?
Yes.
Then she went round to his house and he opened the door and his trousers were undone and his pants were so low that it was showing the pubic hair at the top of his cock.
Didn't one of them he had a towel on when he opened the door and then before, automatically, as a shock, his towel fell down to the floor. And she's just like, oh, I've got to go, oh, it's just... And he said, and she told him to go upstairs and get changed.
Yeah, and this was, and you can tell she was in a really terrible position because she was quite early into her career and she'd managed to get this job from a publisher as his ghostwriter.
Mm.
And it was a big thing for her to write a whole book. And she thought, well, I've either got to put up with this and write the book or turn down this work. And she's a freelance ghostwriter, so what could she do? It's just appalling, isn't it?
For some reason, because I don't really watch it, to be honest. I think he's a bit of a bell end anyway, even before this happened. But you get all these people and you think for some reason everyone thinks he's really popular, everyone likes him, and I think it just comes out that so many people
don't. I
don't
know anybody that does think he's great. On that programme that he's in the factory, he's awful.
Bloody awful.
Shouting.
I'll tell you who does like him. Blokes.
Bloody awful.
Who think that we ought to all get a life and grow up and girls ought to love it. They love it. It's
they
blokes
love
like
it.
That
really?
Who like him. Yeah, yeah. If you look at somebody will say something on Facebook or Instagram and it's just your gammon who love him.
Yeah, they you think can't
he's
say
bloke.
Anything these
days.
These days,
days yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you
yeah.
can't do anything now without someone complaining.
Yeah.
Well, that's what my barrister said anyway.
He's dreadful. I don't know how
I
he gets so many programs.
He just shouts
awful.
And just takes over
knob.
The programme. Yeah.
He's just I mean, he's having a... Yeah, he's a, but, I mean, I kind of think, and you sort of think, OK, what did we do when we were young? What really, really, really stupid things did we do when we were young? Pre-Facebook, pre-social media, what did I do that probably might have got me sat, and then you think, I don't think I ever walked out with a sock over my bollocks and nothing else on in the middle of my workplace. I don't believe I did. I think I was unable to do anything. Well, I'd have way too much to drink at the Christmas party. I don't think I ever did that. Yeah. And you think, what in your right mind in a workplace, especially on television, do you think is acceptable to put a sock over your bollocks and walk out and surprise everyone?
Yeah,
I mean.
Lunacy.
That's just madness.
Lunacy, yeah.
But it's a, I'll tell you, it's probably ego as well.
It's a very, very good job application for GB News, though, isn't it? I bet he ends up on GB News.
He'll still get work.
Because they love people like him, who's a bit... He's going to be a bit shocking.
Is Farage on GB News?
No, he's on Talk... No, he is on GB News, Farage. Yeah.
He'll have a spell on
Farage
GB.
Is on there.
They'll
what's
get
his
on
name?
Famously, though.
Billy Piper's ex-husband. What's his name, that nutcase?
Chris Evans.
No, not
Lawrence Fox.
Lawrence Fox. Fox, he's on there.
He's only up... I'm surprised you didn't invite him for dinner.
I've heard of Edward
you've invited
Fox.
David
he pops
Icke.
Up the side of his mouth.
Yeah.
I've heard of him. You've invited David Icke to your dinner party. It's only one step up from
Lawrence Fox. I don't
know Lawrence
who this
Fox.
Lawrence Fox
no,
is.
Mad.
Neil Oliver's on there. He's lost the plot.
Yeah.
He used to do Coast, didn't he? You know that. Did you used to?
No, it was good.
That was probably when you were in America.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah,
it was a
really
BBC
program
called Coast.
Yes.
And they would just go a bit up the British coastline every episode and follow it round. And I think he's obviously a scientist, but he's a complete conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, total conspiracy theorist.
And he's
theorist.
Bonkers, completely bonkers. So he's been booted off the BBC and
Coast
he's now
Coast was
there.
A great program.
Yeah, it was a good program. Yeah, it was a good program. But yes, it's been a very, very bad week for him. Anybody else had a shockingly bad...
I'm not entirely sure.
Harry's been getting a bit
Harry.
Of... Prince.
Prince Harry.
Not as in Styles. Probably
Prince Harry.
Harry's been getting it because a lot of people are now saying, yes, that they're always apart and she's always going solo. And the odds on a royal separation in the new year apparently are at an all-time low. That might have come from the Daily Mail, but possibly might have come from the Daily Mail.
Do you think that be true? Could be wishful thinking from the Daily Mail.
I expect most Daily Mail readers will probably wish it all goes wrong just to teach the little ginger twat a lesson.
Yeah. But I don't think it's the ginger twat. They don't like quite
they
as
don't
much
like
as
her,
the,
but they
the
certainly
American
him,
girl,
but they
yeah.
certainly don't like her. But they, yeah, they don't seem to be doing anything
no.
together.
Or maybe the thing is, it could be what the male actually sort of pretend they want is that they just go away and they keep out the limelight. So yeah. maybe they're just keeping out the limelight
yeah.
and the male don't like that either. Well, they're just outrageous. They're not doing anything these days, are they? He's obviously going to leave her, come back to Blighty, and everything will be good in the garden once more.
No, he won't. No,
it's been a better week for Biden's son, though, hasn't it?
Who's yes.
Wait, about he's not going to jail.
Yeah. Hunter Biden.
He's now not going to jail. You've got to find some sort of humour in the fact that whether you're Republican or Democrat or whether you're happy with the result or not, and the fact that Joe Biden has spent all this time pre-election saying that nobody is above the law and whatever happens, whether they win the election or not, he will stand by the court's decision. And if his kid has to go down, that's the law and that's what he's going to do. Oh, no. He's now lost. And so basically,
I'm going to pardon him. He was in an incredibly difficult position, wasn't he? Because most people would never go to prison for what it is that Hunter Biden did. They get suspended sentences. They get big fines and so on. But he knows that they're going to come after him. And so he's probably thought, shit.
Well, it's sort of retribution on both sides, isn't there? Because yeah. much as I can't stand him, I mean, the stuff that Trump got done for that, you know, selling stories, I mean, that's not a going to prison offence, first offence.
But is Trump now going to pardon the rioters
himself.
We don't know.
Yeah. You can't speculate on these things, you know.
I think you find they're patriots.
He will, but it's interesting because the whole of US politics has blown up and it's so mad now. And everyone sees things on social media, and even going back probably sort of 15 years or whatever. Nobody, we weren't watching all this stuff coming out on social media. And I saw somewhere that when Barack Obama finished his second term as president, he pardoned something like 1,900 people.
Did he?
Yeah, and that was Barack Obama, who was like, you know, who everyone loved him. No, but you couldn't do anything wrong, could you? And you think, well, there's just something a bit wrong about a system where you can pardon, that a court of law has decided that, you know, and a jury decided that somebody's guilty, and yet he pardoned 1,900 people. And you think, well, who were all these people?
Yeah, yeah. He's not reported as much, but I suspect he will pardon them.
But if you
rioters.
Were Joe Biden and it was your son, you probably
would.
If you've got
would,
that
I
little
mean,
bit of power,
I
you
think probably what he shouldn't have done was absolutely categorically
yes,
stated
he
wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
He was obviously deluded because anybody else would have said 2 years ago, Joe, stand down, don't do a second term, you're never going to win. And he obviously thought he was going to win and that the Democrats would win, because otherwise he wouldn't have waited until 3 months before the election to stand
down. You wonder whether they're just
down.
A bit too much power crazy. And I mean, the rumours have it that obviously Mrs. Biden is terribly power crazy.
Yeah.
And she was the one pushing him from behind because she still loved being the first lady, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
So she was the ones, you know, when people did say, you're never going to make it, you need to pull out now.
Yeah.
She was the one saying, no, he can, he will, and this sort of stuff. And also a lot of people also forget that a lot of people who kept saying, yes, you can, they're all paid. And the moment they stop doing it, somebody else comes in and they all lose their jobs.
Yeah.
So the people think, well, I might as well take another 2 years' money and tell him that he's going to keep getting in. So we keep getting paid.
Yeah.
So
that's how it all works.
That's how it all works over there, isn't it? But yeah, it's not. Would you pardon your boys if they were naughty?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Would you take them home and give them a bit of a loan adjustment?
Tell them off and
tell
say,
them off and
that's
give
not
them
what we do now, is it, in our family?
You're not living in America now, boys.
Yeah.
And would they go, thank you, Mum. Mm-hmm. I have learnt that lesson from that very, very sensible chat you have now given me. Can I forgive your children, Andrew?
Oh, definitely forgive my children.
What have you been looking up?
I have an update for you on Rush Hour Crush.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Exciting.
it turns out there's been 3 weddings and 1 baby, with another baby due, God willing, within the next month.
All for the same couple?
It's been going for 24 years.
Right. And you've only had 3 weddings, though.
3 weddings. One of the nice wedding stories is by a chap, Michael Nobbs.
I bet that's not his name, really.
43, met Sarah, so Michael and Sarah Nobbs are very happy.
Michael and Sarah.
So that's a nice story if you want to look that one
up. They didn't say what line they met on, because I find that quite interesting.
Rush Hour Crush, the pair met and fell in love, proposal with a copy of the Metro. He gave her a copy of the Metro at Shepherd's Bush, so presumably on the Central.
Central line, that'll be there.
So basically 3 weddings and 1
in
divorce
24
and a couple
years
of fears is not great odds.
It's not great.
No, that's
odds,
fairly
not great.
Fairly low odds.
But there has been some romance.
Oh, it can't be a bit of romance.
Can never be bad.
It sounded like a late night DJ.
You did, there, yeah, you did. You have got a very nice voice.
Hello,
on radio,
ladies.
Andrew.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hello, ladies. This is Brian Butterworth and the BBC Light Orchestra with I'm Here to Give You Roses. It's 2:45 in the morning.
You are sort of bloke. That's very good. That's a bit worryingly good. Yeah. You are sort of the bloke who sort of works at BBC Leicestershire, aren't you? You've got that all over you.
I don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, not the big time.
No.
Yeah. They're
so,
off.
What are we? What we're going to do a quiz at some point?
Oh, I hope
we?
So.
We've got something to do before then, because we need to zip into this quiz fairly soon.
We're going to talk about. Rude people on their devices.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, like him.
Ooh.
Like him looking
him
at
over
it.
There looking,
I was
ooh.
Coming
yeah.
home on Sunday night, yeah. and I'm in the lounge. And
sorry, what's the lounge?
Oh, you know, the lounge where you come home. That's obviously where.
I genuinely don't know what you're talking about.
That means where that's where I sit before I get on my plane.
Oh, you see, so not like in the departure terminal.
Hospitality lounge.
In the a nicer part of the terminal.
Right.
Anyway, I'm in the lounge.
It's like, is it just roped off like that thing from Extras where he's with David Bowie? Have you ever seen that?
No, but we're going to forget that. We're going to get on with it anyway. And so I'm in there. I'm in the lounge and telly's on, big telly's on, and obviously going to watch the Liverpool-Man City game. I think, no, it's got a couple of hours before I get on the plane to actually just about take the match in, la, la, la. Because you're in there and they've been nice to everybody, they've turned the sound down, so it's only the pictures, so you can all watch and you can get about your stuff. So loads of people are watching the football and I'm sitting next to a woman and all of a sudden, on goes the phone. She's on TikTok. She's got the volume on. And everyone's looking at like, what are you doing? I don't want to hear your TikTok shit.
It was the same in a hospital last couple of days. Yeah. People have their stuff on loudspeaker and then FaceTiming and talking yes. really loudly. And yeah, it's just rude.
Yeah, London buses are full of people on their phones, just staring at them, but just completely unaware.
Yeah.
Unaware that it's just annoying everybody.
Mm.
Be in the train
just
in the morning
the
and someone
down.
Someone's having a business call.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, 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 don't tell him that, for God's sake. No, no, get Brian onto it. Yeah, no, not that Brian. not Brian from accounts. Brian from marketing. Get Brian on it.
And, oh, hang on, this isn't my stop, no.
Shall I carry on?
Get in touch with my secretary, Cheryl. She'll, hang on a minute. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, can you squeeze past? It's like that, isn't it? What is wrong with you?
It's just a problem. They've got no shame. They
and
don't
they
care.
Don't have any shame.
They have absolutely shame at all. So his bloke's wife, this bloke's husband, sort of, he's going, you need to turn that down. Everyone's like, and she went, no, absolutely not.
Were these people English or Saffers?
They were English.
Oh, were they?
I'm saddened to say. But yeah, he didn't care at all. So she then turned it down a little bit, stopped, and then she started up again. And I was like, will you?
And this is
we're
in
too polite.
The lounge.
This is the lounge.
It's not like on the 184 bus, is it, that I'm talking about?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not the 18 bus. Not unless the 18 bus has got a special section.
The 184.
184, sorry. Yeah. And this sort of stuff. But yeah,
Turnpike Lane to Barnet Hospital.
So yeah, well, I certainly won't be going there. But no, it's absolutely appalling. So yeah, that got right on my tits. And
it just goes on all the time. It's just so rude. I don't know why, like in that hospital waiting room, do they not have a big sign saying no phones on speakers?
No,
headphones only.
They
should just do
they
that.
They should do.
Because if you do that, then you don't have any problems with confrontation. You just go over to whoever's doing it. You say,
they should do.
Sorry, you've got to turn
But
it
they
off.
Do that in America, don't they? They have quiet carriages. I remember me and Lucy going on a college tour years ago and started yakking on in the lounge, in the train. Huh. And this woman comes up, shh, points at the sign, quiet carriage.
They're doing this country
like
as well.
And me and Lucy were like, oh, sorry, shh. Let's say sorry. So we scuttled off to a one where you could talk in. This sort of stuff. It was literally like this is a quiet carriage.
Oh, you weren't even allowed to have a conversation.
No, no talking at all.
Do they?
Did they?
Started to do it, yeah.
No, they've had it for a few years.
I've never been on a train where there's a quiet carriage. I don't know. Well, I might have done without knowing it.
Yeah.
Because your ability to not talk.
They should have something for everyone on a 12-carriage train. Quiet carriage, naked carriage, fancy dress carriage.
Do you remember?
It's not trading places.
Special carriages. Do you remember when they first got rid of smoking anywhere you like on the tube and they just had the smoking carriage?
Yes.
And it used to, I always remember because we used to get on at East Finchley Station, which is an outside station. And you'd see the train coming in when these would be red and it would stop and the doors would open. And it just a plume. It was like the carriage was on fire.
Yeah.
It's just a plume of smoke would come pouring out of the carriage.
Of course it did.
We used to have that at football when they stopped banning smoking at football. Yeah. This is the old game when West Ham used to play at Upton Park. And I mean, obviously the toilets, and it was like being back at school. So I remember but half time going into the big toilets at Upton Park behind the stand. And you've got two little sort of, you know, stewards who obviously paid, like, you know, £4.50 an hour back in the day for their sort of thing. And opening the door and, like, you know, basically, like, the middle of a fire comes out and these two little kids go in and say something about smoking and these big burly stenders go, fuck off.
And there's two smoking little, on the plane now.
And there's two little underpaid people just go, sorry.
Smoking on planes and smoking on the right-hand side of the cinema. I mean, what's all that about?
Yeah. Back of the plane, I always remember that.
Yeah, that's right. You're smoking section or non-smoking? is it going to make a difference?
It's hard to imagine it now, isn't it? I love when you see old television programs. Parkinson. There was always somebody with a fag on Parkinson.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Or a couple
and
of
drinks.
Old boys in there with pipes on,
and the old and you know with a scotch and this sort of stuff. I mean, dear good old Thunderbirds.
Yeah,
just they all had a fag on.
That's what people say. We want our country back. I want our country. That's what they want. They want fags on the telly.
Fags on the telly and Farage will give
not
it to
you.
Not
that sort of fag. I don't like them. That's what they...
Well, you're not allowed to say that.
Same people.
Not allowed to say the word
fag anymore. They're having a fag on and my children will say, Dad, you can't say that.
No, you're not, are you, actually?
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. So Lucy Simmons, Hannah Simmons, I do apologise.
I was doing an impression of Gammon there, I should point out.
Says Willy Woofter right out?
Yes.
Yeah. And on that note,
we're going to go for a break. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to go straight into a quiz now. Me and Stuart spend a lot of time thinking these things up. This one must have taken 15 minutes at least, I think.
It's going to be a classic then.
And I came out with the answers before the questions, which is a strange way of doing it. So this quiz is called Fuck Me, Do You Die That or What? And this is all come from you saying that the midwife said, oh, what a shame about the colour of his hair.
Oh.
So... I've got 20 questions.
It was yet another slur about the colour of my hair.
I've got...
Yet another one.
I've got 20 clues here, and the answers are all famous people with ginger hair. Okay?
Oh.
So it's a ginger quiz.
Great.
All right?
20 gingers.
Are you allowed to do ginger quizzes in 2024?
Absolutely, yeah. You can definitely do it, yeah, because we're not being disparaging, and none of the clues are disparaging. They're just clues to famous gingers. Now, are we going to do it like we did last time and give the answer after every question?
No.
No, we'll do them all at the end. We'll do them at the end. Okay,
then. Do them at the end, okay.
One person I spoke to said that wasn't a good idea, so we're going back to
perfect, okay. So here we go, then. So everybody got their pencils and papers ready? And
I'm
going to
go
so
this
forth?
Side. So you don't cheat.
Yeah, because he will cheat, Andrew, won't he? Because he's a quizzer.
Do you want to lean on that?
I'm not a ginger expert.
You're a quizzer.
No, you'll know a lot of these people.
I've heard of Ginger Lynn.
Okay, so no, she's not on it. Right, okay then. So eyes down for a full house. Okay, number one. Singer of a band released an album in 1985 called Picture Book.
And you...
No, don't give it away, you Wally. Okay, question number two.
I don't know if you've noticed. I mean, we kind of help her.
We do help her through it, don't we? Okay, this person, famous actor.
Oi, were you referring to me then?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not referring to anybody else around here, am I?
I didn't hear you. What do you don't help me?
Stop bickering.
I think you need to listen back.
There may be a couple of times. Okay.
Okay, this person. What, Andrew?
He's just hit him for six.
Oh, good, okay. This person...
nice to work there.
Big film star, big TV star, was married to the late Helen McCrory.
Oh.
Don't know who she is.
I don't want you moaning through the quiz, all right? Any moaning, we're just turning
singing.
You off.
He's been doing a lot of singing and stuff, hasn't he?
She should stop.
No. Okay, right, next question.
I think I got it.
This person was the firstborn daughter of the character that the person from question number two is currently playing very famously on the TV at the moment. So you need to know the answer to the person in question two to know the character he's currently playing in the sequel to Wolf Hall. So the daughter of the character this bloke is playing in the sequel to Wolf Hall.
What's he talking about?
I think we've got nonsense.
A lot of people will get this.
Just not three of us.
Okay, next one. This person painted sunflowers.
Oh, we got that one.
Starry, starry night.
Sorry. Okay. This next person was Doctor Who's assistant after Billy Piper. But I want the name of the actress.
Yeah, yeah.
Directly after Billy Piper. Remember, the clue is always in the colour of the hair.
The clue is in the colour of the hair. Yeah. I was going to say Bonnie Langford, but it's not. She was
a long time ago.
So Sylvester
McCoy.
So
the one after Billy Piper.
Oh, no.
Can you visualise her?
Yeah, I can visualise her.
Yeah.
I'm not a Doctor Who fan.
She's in a big star in Guardians of the Galaxy, but you don't see her hair in that.
Oh, no, I don't know. I thought I knew.
All right.
The only one I know is in there.
Okay, next question.
Shocking, huh?
This woman or girl, whatever you want to call her, she got the Oscar for Best Actress in 2016 in La La Land.
Oh. Yes.
Got it.
I know.
Got it. Okay.
Got him.
Loney, going to get something written down. Okay. We now have another famous American actress. She was in three films. I'll give you three films that she was a big star in and see if you can get her. So, in Catch Me If You Can, American Hustle and Arrival. Are we all there? Next question. This person played Richie Cunningham.
Oh
yes.
He's a director. He's a producer. What's his name?
Okay, just do an asterisk there because we'll have to come back to that.
Okay,
you got it.
There's a very big difference between him and a very, very huge porn star. Only one word.
Yeah, this girl is the lead singer of the band Garbage.
Oh fuck! What's her name? Do I get a name for?
Apparently, had a poo in her ex-boyfriend's cornflakes one morning.
Good girl.
She was trying to give him the subtle hint that she didn't want to be with him anymore.
That's
so she literally got on the kitchen table. I read that in Kerrang.
Good.
With an interview with her.
Can we go back to the question?
The lead singer of Garbage.
Never heard of them.
You've never heard of them? He lives in a time warp, doesn't he?
He lives in Quizland.
Okay, so this is a very easy one. I think you might get this one, Stuart. I want to know the pilot of Thunderbird 4.
Boom!
Oh, for goodness sake.
What a lot of shite.
Well, I think that's the best of the attempts so far.
Do you? Okay, this fella hosts The Late Late Show and used to host The Tonight Show on American TV.
And wrote The Simpsons.
He did, didn't he?
And he's ginger.
He's ginger.
Proper ginger.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
He hosts The Late Late Show, used to do The Tonight Show. He comes up on Instagram reels about every five minutes, all the time. Very famous. Okay, next one. This bloke famously played Walker, Texas Ranger.
Whoa.
He was also in Way of the Dragon. He was in Stuart's quiz about How Old Are You, actually, wasn't he?
Oh, God.
Do you remember that quiz about 15 episodes ago called How Old Are You? He was included in that. I love doing quizzes with Andrew because he's a quizzer and he hates it because he doesn't know the answers, doesn't he? Because we do novelty quizzes.
We do novelty shitbag questions.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. Very, very famous rock singer, lead singer of a massive band. His real name is Bill Bailey. What's his stage name? His real name is Bill Bailey.
I know this.
Ginger.
He's Ginger.
How old?
Probably late 50s. Massive band. Massive, massive band. His name rhymes with oral sex.
Oh, yeah.
Rhymes with or is an anagram of?
Oh, no, rhymes with anagram of.
Yes, I was going to say, because that doesn't...
Sorry. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's meant to be arguably the biggest piece of all time.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Okay, so I want to know the character's name, the lead character in The X-Files.
Oh, not the... Can I get the actress?
No, I want the character.
Is he Ginger?
You've been a bit grumpy.
She...
Oh, is she Ginger?
Yeah.
Thank you.
She's... sorry, I'm just going to throw this in. It sounds like a bit of an old perv. She's lovely.
I think so.
Look, it sounded like it, yeah. She was, in about 24, 25 years ago, she was FHM's Sexiest Woman of the Year.
Totally.
Yeah. She was good in Sex Education. Have you watched that?
Yeah, brilliant.
Right.
Yeah,
and anyway,
she did the Irish one.
Should we get on with the next
detective
one? Okay, this woman had a son called Bam Bam. No. Or maybe a daughter called Pebbles. Did they have the son or the daughter, Stuart?
They had
the son called Bam Bam, I think.
No, they had Pebbles.
They had a daughter called Pebbles. There you go.
Pebbles, yeah.
Yeah, she had a daughter called Pebbles.
Well, that was him and her, wasn't it?
Sorry?
That was him and her.
Him and her? What's he talking about? Okay, next one.
You used to find her actually quite attractive.
Mm. Betty Moore.
Betty Moore, yeah. For me.
Okay, so next, this person, and think of the actual subject of the quiz, the drummer in the band Cream.
Oh, yes.
Do, 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 do,
do. This is going to go on for a while, listeners.
Like I'm tired. Sorry.
Andrew's going to have a guitar break.
Yeah. Okay. Shut up a minute, Andrew. Lead singer of the band Cream. Are you going to have a whirl at that?
Not the singer, the drummer.
Okay, the drummer. Sorry, not the singer. Okay, so we've got now the 1985 youngest ever winner of Wimbledon.
Yes.
Men's.
This is question 17,
men's.
Is it?
Yeah.
Finally.
We're going to tell our story about him?
We can do afterwards when we give out the answers. Okay, next question. Question 18. Very attractive, very nice TV maths professor. Always on the telly at the moment. She's one of TV's best known experts. She did Have I Got News For You about 3 weeks ago as well, actually.
Is she Ginger?
Yeah, very.
Maths professor.
The only one they get on is Brian Cox, and it's certainly not him.
I don't know what this bloody question is. This next one
has been evident.
Makes
from
absolutely
the beginning.
No. Nothing at all. That makes no sense. So we're going to have 19 questions, okay? I'll work this one out during the quick break before we come back with the answers. And the last clue is just Well.
I met her once. In King's Road.
Did you? Well done. Okay, thanks. So that's it. There's 19 questions, not 20, and I'll try and work out what the other one was, and we might come back to that. So we're going to go for a quick break, then we'll be back with the answers. Okay, so here we are with the answers to this week's fabulous quiz. Okay, you're going to shout them out. Okay, singer of a band, released picture book in 1985.
Mick Hucknall.
Mick Hucknall. What have you got?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, actor here, married to Helen McCrory.
Damien Lewis.
Got that.
Bobby Axelrod.
Yeah. Okay, and who's the daughter of the character he's currently famously playing?
Well, it would have been Queen Elizabeth.
Elizabeth
Boom!
I.
Oh,
he's playing
clever.
Henry VIII at the moment, isn't
that's
he?
That's clever. Didn't get
okay. Who was the bloke who painted sunflowers?
Pardon?
Van Gogh.
You're not in America now.
Pardon?
Van Gogh. Vincent Van Gogh. Okay.
I didn't get this.
The assistant, the actress who plays the assistant after Billy Piper is Karen Gillan.
I got Catherine Tate.
She used Ginger as well, isn't she?
She was an
Octavia,
wasn't she?
And she was red.
I didn't say immediately after either, did I?
Yeah,
I just said after.
I could get a point for that.
Yeah, you can.
Thank
I love
you.
The way you just don't care. You've got no scruples at
no
all.
Scruples. No. Oh. And I had to pal for question one. Because she was a redhead, wasn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, but she didn't do that album.
No. Mind you, it was 1985, so I thought it was 80s, wasn't it? But it was late 80s, I think, to pound.
So can that be a half?
No, you can't have a half of that. No. Okay. Who got an Oscar for La La Land?
Emma Stone.
Susan Sarandon. Well, is she a ginger? Susan Sarandon.
No. It's difficult to tell, isn't it? Yeah. And then was in who's the actress in American Hustle, Arrival, and Catch Me If You Can?
Amy Adams.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Well done, me.
Okay. Who played Richie Cunningham?
It's not Ron Jeremy.
No. No, it certainly isn't.
Big difference with one word.
Yeah.
Ron Howard.
Did you get that?
I got Howard. I got his last name, so I got a point for that.
Half a point.
Well, I can add that to my other point.
Just round it up.
Anyone know the lead singer of Garbage is?
Shirley Manson.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
Okay, without Stuart shouting this out, let's try the other two first. Who's the pilot of Thunderbird 4?
No clue.
I can't believe they haven't got that right.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
What the fucking wrong with you? Gordon Tracy.
He's ginger. Yep. Anyone know who played Walker, Texas Ranger?
No.
Chuck Norris.
He's not ginger.
You've missed one out. What have I missed out?
You've missed Conan O'Brien.
I missed Conan. Sorry, yeah. Conan O'Brien. The Late Late Show is Conan O'Brien. Did you get that, Andrew?
No.
I did.
Okay, what rock singer, you didn't know this until I said it, the anagram, did I? A rock singer whose real name is Bill Bailey.
Axl Rose.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Axl Rose, yeah.
He's meant to be an absolute cock.
He is an absolute whopper, isn't he? Okay, then, so where are we now?
Gillian.
Yeah, the lead female character in The X-Files.
Tony.
Scully.
Yeah. Gillian Anderson.
Dana Scully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Right. So, who had a son called Bam Bam or a daughter called Pebbles?
Wilma Flintstone.
Oh, of course. I didn't think it could be that.
It was Wilma.
I didn't know that.
Wilma.
Oh.
So, do you know who the drummer in the band Cream is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell Loney.
Yes. Ginger Baker.
His name was actually Ginger.
Ginger Baker.
But
and he was Ginger.
Yeah.
Yes, hence they called him Ginger.
the youngest men's winner of Wimbledon in 1985, anyone?
Boris Becker.
Mr. Tax Evasion himself, Boris Becker.
Bonking under the stairs, Boris Becker.
In the broom cupboard.
None of you knew the TV math professor, did you?
No.
Professor Hannah Fry. Do you know her?
No.
Look her up. And then I didn't know what the bleed nail this way. If anyone can come up with this, the answer I've put is red something, and the clue was the rocket 1160-69. I've no idea what that was, so that's why we didn't have that question. And then finally,
don't sing it again.
All right.
Yeah, don't sing it.
Who's the answer to that?
Lulu.
Well done. Let's have your scores on the doors, please, for this week's Auburn quiz.
A lot better than I thought.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, he moans his way through it, doesn't he? Because he likes to get like 18 out of 20 or whatever. And if he thinks I'm going to come down to about 12 or 13, he's not happy.
Oh, I'm way below that.
Oh, are you? Oh, right. Okay.
I thought I was going to get 2 or 3, but I did better than I thought.
How'd you go, though?
10.
Not bad.
7.
I've come screaming in with a whopping 17.
Oh, 17 wow, out of 19. That's very good, isn't
well,
it?
Well, you know.
That just goes to show the sort of nonsense me and you both like.
We have got into over the years.
So that was this week's quiz. We need to think of another novelty. Always have to try and think of novelty quizzes.
Well, I think next time's clearly going to have to be a Christmas quiz.
Yeah, that's very true, actually.
Because
so,
it is next, the next one is going to be the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Where we're going to talk about all exciting Christmas things. So if you have any Christmassy subjects you want us to talk about, info@homerpots.
No, it's info@homerpots@gmail.com.
Yes. And then we will be able to read your emails, decide if they're good enough, and then basically put it down and decide whether we're going to give you the time of day.
Yeah, okay. And is there anything else we need to talk about before we go? I don't think
Are we up nicely on time?
Perfect timing. Just coming up to 1 hour.
Oh, we are such pros.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
We have become such pros at this.
Yeah, although I did leave a couple of small gaps, so we might be really on 58 minutes. But
okay, but it's enough.
We need to leave the gap so that Alex can spot them to fill the music in. If we don't leave a gap, he forgets to leave the music, which is why you might have noticed we had one the other day.
He did. Went,
and we're off for a break. Silence. And we're back.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do you ever listen to them?
Yes, of course I do.
I know you do, yeah. Okay, so we'll be back in a couple... Andrew?
Nothing.
Well, you just leant in as if you were going to say something quite
meaningful.
No, he's probably forgotten.
He probably has.
In the yard, he made his way into the microphone. He forgot what he was going to say. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Back down at Casa Simo again. And so the sound should be much better this week, shouldn't it?
And hopefully a minimal amount of...
Yeah,
sniffing.
Actually, you did quite well today.
I've done quite well today. I realise I've always got an issue.
Sniffing, yeah.
I need to. If I'm not here, I've clearly gone to the Priory.
Yeah, that's true. So, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Goodbye,
ciao.
Andrew.
Bye. Ciao for now.
Goodbye, everyone.
Pots Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.